You're with SBS Radio. Find more great stories in your language at sbs.com.au.
Indigenous people, we're still fighting for our human rights. You know, there are a lot of human rights violations that Indigenous people all around the world, and including Australia, continue to face on a daily level, causing a great deal of suffering. And human rights and our system of international human rights law under the UN, you know, is very much about not leaving anyone behind. But unfortunately, many Aboriginal people are being left behind. So that's why this UN Day to commemorate the world's Indigenous people and also the important Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People is so important for us.
And what are the most significant issues that need to be addressed this International Day of the World's Indigenous Peoples?
Issues, and they have been brought up and raised with our Australian government in various UN reports in recent years, including by the Committee on the Elimination of Race Discrimination, who noted the rise of racism in the Australian state, amongst other issues, and also the Committee on the Elimination of Discrimination Against Women. We've also had two visits by UN expert people called Special Rapporteurs on Violence Against Women and Indigenous Peoples, and there's quite a few issues in there. I'm particularly concerned about the gap that is widening in regards to Indigenous incarceration, particularly children, youth and women, and also the removal of Aboriginal children today.
Because Aboriginal children are the most represented in out-of-home care. And people are even talking about another form of stolen generations.
Right, we have more Aboriginal children being removed today than we actually did under those terribly discriminatory stolen generation laws, which treated Aboriginal women as if they were not mothers with feelings, which really legitimised racial discrimination. And unfortunately, many Aboriginal people do believe, for good reason, that there is still discrimination and bias happening in the child protection system, and that many Aboriginal children are being removed for reasons related to neglect, which is closely related to poverty as well. So this is a real area that we need to increase our attention on. The children being removed don't have generally good outcomes in their out-of-home care experience, and many do also experience abuse in out-of-home care too, and we need to keep that in mind.
Yeah, because it's just the beginning of an institutionalized form of it goes from there to incarceration to many other abuses of their rights. This is a day that has been promulgated by the United Nations. What's the importance of having treaties like the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples?
Treaties are absolutely critical to our knowledge and our understanding and our respect for human rights. I can't imagine a world without UN human rights treaties. Now, we know we do have a problem in implementing effectively those treaties, but those standards are still a part of law. They are binding on Australia. We do call our government to account, and our government does consider it is a good citizen when it comes to human rights. We're a member now of the Human Rights Council, and we need to continue to use those treaties in our dialogue with Australia and our government to increase respect and adherence to human rights.
What are the major areas of concerns for Indigenous peoples that need and must be addressed?
We have a situation of incarceration increasing, as well as contemporary removal of Aboriginal children.
Yeah.
We have many other issues, including racism, and sometimes racism can have fatal impacts. And I think in New South Wales recently, a coroner investigated the death of a expectant Aboriginal mother who attended a hospital up to 20 times in great pain during her pregnancy, and she was never referred to a specialist, as of course she should have been and she would have been if she was a non-Aboriginal woman. And she died after being sent home with a couple of Panadols. And unfortunately, this situation is not an isolated example of discrimination in Australia. We have this as a problem that appears to be potentially on the rise.
Yeah.
We have young children who have committed suicide following racism and bullying in their schools. And we have many Aboriginal people reporting unsafe workplaces as well. And we know that there's a health impact here. So there are many, many issues. They're just a few that we do need to focus on, including with greater attention at the national level of government policy and program responses.
This situation is really dramatic and painful to see that this kind of situation is happening at this day and age. And well, when we talk about closing the gap, some targets should be included, as you mentioned, those about incarceration and health outcomes. And what actions do you recommend that need to be taken?
Well, the UN bodies that have been reviewing Australia in recent years have made some very good recommendations to Australia, and those bodies have been listening to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people who have travelled to Geneva, who have taken part in meetings with the Permanent Forum,
yeah,
and have articulated some very clear advice. So the recommendations, the reports are there. We need to raise awareness of them. We need to increase respect for them. And there's so much more that we can do. And I think that, there's a roadmap within international human rights law, and the advice from the UN to Australia needs to be taken more seriously.
And what is your university doing specifically for this day of, I wouldn't say just commemoration, just observing and celebrating also?
So we're having a lunch event tomorrow with the university officials, and I'll be speaking briefly at that event. And I'm very happy to have the support of Curtin University, who's enabled me to participate in several UN forums since my appointment in 2016, initially commencing with a fellowship at the UN Office of the High Commissioner of Human Rights. But I think there is much more that we can do at our university and at universities across Australia to make sure that Aboriginal people's human rights are being given greater protection in Australia.
Yeah.
One human rights matter that I've been particularly canvassing concerns violence against Indigenous women.
Yeah.
And a number of UN bodies have now suggested or advised Australia more correctly that we need a specific national action plan to address violence against Indigenous women. And we've seen in Canada that there's been an inquiry into murdered and missing Indigenous women. We know in Australia that Aboriginal women are experiencing quite severe levels of violence and abuse, and this is impacting our children's well-being and our whole families and communities. So certainly at the national policy level, that is something that I've been raising with government, and that our National Family Violence Services are as well, because we are committed to building safer and healthier communities for our people.
The situation in Canada, I was looking at this particular issue where they find First Nations women in parks and rivers dead, and no explanation how that happens. And it's quite traumatizing to see this happen. And do we have the same situation in Australia? Have any similar incidents been reported, or are you aware of them?
Yes, we do. We have many missing and murdered Indigenous women in Australia. At Curtin University, the Deathscapes Research Project is completing a Indigenous femicide case study, which will be available in a few weeks, and it'll be an important educational and awareness-raising tool about this problem in Australia. Certainly Indigenous women's deaths are not treated with the seriousness that they deserve, and the state has a duty to prevent and properly respond to and punish such acts of violence against Indigenous women. We know that's not always the case, and we know some shocking examples highlighting discrimination in the justice system, including the death of an Aboriginal woman in New South Wales who was raped and murdered so violently, and yet her killers were not actually charged for many years until after a media and national outcry by Indigenous people. And that's a situation that we frequently do see. We see also Indigenous women who are taking things into their own hands, defending themselves, and then finding themselves being incarcerated for very significant periods of time for murder, and also being denied the self-defence law. We've signed up to the Bangkok rules, which really recommend to government or set a standard that actually we need to be diverting women from prisons. We need to be offering proper therapeutic interventions and being considerate of the fact that they are mothers as well, and the trauma to children of separating mothers from their children.
Yeah. And when is this report due to be released? Because is it within a few weeks, months, or?
I think it's probably within a month. The Deathscapes Indigenous Femicide will be publicly available. You can have a look at the Deathscapes project now. It is live. It's a project that maps violence of the settler state.
Yeah.
And this case study will specifically focus on violence against Indigenous women.
Tell us what you think. Like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter.